Is that another box? It's either me or the toys.
Welcome to the My Wife Is Going to Kill Me podcast.
The podcast where me and my friends talk about the number one thing that makes our wives want to kill us.
Toy collecting!
Transform!
Mother, hush, bucket,
roll out! Transform!
I'm Batman.
And welcome to the My Wife Is Gonna Kill Me podcast. This is gonna be much different than what you're used to because it's just me from the original cast. We definitely got our fifth man here, Kyle Moore. Welcome.
Hello. Yep. Still in my pajamas.
Yep. Had a little party night, which we will discuss a little bit. Last night, we will discuss a little bit. But we've got a new person to the mic today. I hope you guys are ready for him. Brian Nolan comes from the other side of Michigan. We've met.
The dark side.
Yep. We've met at toy shows. He is also a plastic crack slinger. Welcome to the podcast, Brian.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Excited to be here.
Yeah. Make sure you talk into that mic.
Oh, already. Rookie mistake.
Yep. That's okay. You know.
I'm out.
Brian, this is a different experience for you, for sure. Probably, is this the first time you ever been on a podcast?
Yes.
Yeah. I knew you had a history in midget wrestling.
I'd say those records were sealed.
Yeah, but I didn't know if they were podcasting back then. So probably your deep dark history is still sealed. And I don't know if I'm supposed to call them midget.
Is
wrestling.
It? Are you joking?
You weren't aware of this?
No, this is the first I'm hearing of this. You're not joking. You're serious?
Look at his face. Does he look like he's joking?
Well, Kyle, you have not seen the pictures.
I have never. No, dude. This is. I'm learning this as we're
full
doing this.
Wrestling gimmick. Literally, midget wrestling.
Started as tossing, then went to wrestling.
Oh my God! This is something I'm just now learning for the first time about our friend Brian.
Brian, you got any stories from the old midget wrestling days? You feel like sharing?
Not why I'm sober.
well, we can fix that.
As I drink a Bloody Mary.
Yep, Bloody Marys around. The wild thing is, when you get rid of the other three boys, Heidi has to make more Bloody Marys. Yep. Usually Jeremy's the only one that will drink them with me.
They're good. Holy crap.
Oh.
They're so good.
Aren't they good? Heidi killed them.
I wish I had a taller one, but I guess I didn't.
Wow, the look on her face. The look on her face. Yeah. Man, she's going to skin you alive.
Yeah, we got a small crowd in with us here today. We have the lovely Nicole and my beautiful wife, Heidi, who are just sitting in watching because apparently they have nothing better to do with their lives besides sit through this shit.
What episode are we on?
Oh, good question. Yeah. No idea. No. Absolutely no idea.
Okay.
I never know that. I could look it up
real quick.
The other
three guys do all the work?
They do all the work. I literally usually just sit here and look pretty.
Yeah, and he usually is supposed to have the toy drama, but the last couple episodes he's just waited until somebody says, "What's up with drama, Trav?" And then he has to look at his phone. He doesn't have it. It's gone a long way. They used to write stuff down, you know, on a piece of paper, and then they would get to it. Now it's just like,
fly
fuck
by,
it. Yeah,
whatever.
We don't care. So...
Brian, you've listened to a few episodes before, right?
Couple.
Or watch. Okay, yeah. So you're aware of usually how this rolls, but yeah, it's
really no structure.
Just no structure.
What comes to mind? Start talking.
It used to be. Now it's just yeah. Okay, this is okay. Yeah, this is we're
anything goes.
We're filling some time while Trav is trying to find out the
275.
Welcome 275.
Oh, we have literally done this 275 plus times.
Yeah.
Yep. So if you're worried about the rest of the crew, Steve's mother-in-law fell and broke her hip. He's doing alpha things with his family, as Lou pointed out with his last recap of the podcast. Pete is at a training where pretty much from the pictures I've seen, I think all he was doing was learning how to tie up his wife. And Jeremy has leaky pipes.
And they're actual, not like his bowels are leaking.
Yes, yes. So both. He has leaky bowels and he has leaky pipes.
Which is awesome because all they did for the party last night was they just turned the water off and came over here and left their daughter at home. With no water.
She needed to go to the bathroom.
She says, so I got to take a shower. And they're like, yeah, not tonight.
No, yeah. No.
Then they came here.
Oh, so Jeremy is definitely in a tough spot. Last night, we did have our annual white elephant gift exchange here at
Christmas
my home.
Party.
Christmas party up a little late, but I really could care less about actually when the holiday happens.
It's great that we do it here at Trav's because everybody can get here, and he's got a lot of room. We always have a lot of fun, but... Trav goes, well, we can do it December 3rd, whatever. And then it's a week before Christmas, and now we know we can't do it before then. So we'll just do it in January. Well, it can't be the first week because that's New Year's. So then here we are January 14th doing our Christmas party.
Mm-hmm.
But it's either that or we have to have it somewhere else. So
yeah, and maybe maybe I could just plan a little bit better.
Yeah, no, that was the hint.
Everybody's
I was
got
leaving.
Different stuff going on.
Oh,
every
yeah.
week somebody's got something in December.
Yeah. The hard part is I actually kind of prefer having it after the holidays. Mm. Like to me, it's just a party. It's a reason to get together. I really don't. We call it a Christmas party.
Although
the way
Jeremy was pretty excited to be able to open a couple gifts. he was ecstatic.
Yeah,
said he didn't get anything. So
it was.
He didn't get to keep anything that he opened that he was excited about, but.
We do the little white elephant gift thing where you steal some presents, and usually a few people walk away with some really great stuff. Everybody, in my opinion, walks away with good stuff. The gift it has to fit the criteria of
three criteria.
Very simple. It needs to either be a toy.
A regular
action figure. Or it needs to be alcohol. Or... it needs to be a sex toy. Not a lot of sex toy presents last night.
My gift was one of each. I had alcohol, toy, and a sex toy.
Yep.
In mine that I presented to somebody.
That Fisher Price looking one?
No.
I think Jeremy ended up with that one. It literally looked like it was something.
It did look like a Fisher Price thing, but that was I think that was some form of a pocket.
Oh, that's right. That was Jason's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was Mr. Boonstra's.
Yeah, yes. Of course.
Yep.
Yeah.
But if I remember right, Brian and Nicole did take away the grand prize.
Yeesh.
The
18 inches of plastic delight.
Yes.
It was regifted from It was regifted from another couple at the party from 3 years ago that they held it through COVID, and they brought it back.
God bless their hearts.
Yeah, and we'll see if it makes it back.
The question is it was it just regifted?
I guess you'll find out.
Yeah,
dude, I can tell you from experience. Just put it in the dishwasher.
Did you dishwasher
well,
that?
Well, Travis
deep?
Had a good idea, so why don't we start signing it? Get some nice. Everybody, get like hand, everyone that passes hands has got to sign
get
it.
Get like a silver Sharpie.
In year 08.
I was thinking actually on the box, but I guess you could go the other direction. I don't know if actually signing the device.
Nope. You know what? I have an idea for when that gets
released. Oh, okay.
I'm not
going to
say
good.
It, but yeah. I got an idea now.
Perfect. So. Well, it is yours now.
Yeah, well,
so.
Well, it's not mine. It's Nicole's. I don't know how I'm going to compete with that.
All right. Yeah, it's bigger than her. So,
yeah, I mean, the picture I took of her holding it literally looks like it's the Statue of Liberty holding. Yeah, it's just
I thought it was her walking cane.
Yeah, it could be. It could be used as that.
Oh yes.
Oh, that'd be awesome. You need to take that out and walk with that. At
it
the
is.
Mall,
it's
at
a church. Pretty fun little get together.
If you mount that on your wall by the door, if you got a, I said this last night. You got a baseball bat. You got a mace. You got that. You're grabbing that to defend yourself.
Yeah. Could you imagine that?
It's quite the weapon.
East Side Woman kills intruder with 18-inch dildo.
God. Yep. Hopefully it's not slippery. It is it's a fun little party. It really, for me personally, it's just another chance to get together with my friends and hang out. And I hope you guys had fun. Did you have a good time?
Oh, yeah.
It was a good time.
Okay.
Yep, I had a great time.
I do remember everything. So.
And you kept your clothes on.
I kept my clothes on. And I made it to the end of the party.
Wow.
Yes, which did not happen with the Halloween party. This party, I was I was like, listen, no Superman shots.
That's what I missed.
Yeah.
What did we do? We did do some fireball shots last night.
Did have some fireball shots.
Spin around the, yes. around the thing.
Yep. Yep, which was pretty good. I definitely had one of those. I know you had one of those.
And the hot tub was the last thing to get opened.
Yeah.
And it was just Heidi, right? Or when you got in.
No, I actually didn't. I didn't end up getting in. Wow. I just went out and checked on her.
We
got to
write this down.
I thought about it. If I'd have gotten that, I wouldn't have got it. It just would have been over.
Yeah. And I kind of just trying to trick her because one time I went out, she was asleep and almost like, you know, she was almost like,
Submerged.
You need to tie your hair back. So when it goes, you know.
Yeah.
So when she falls asleep, she just hangs there. You know, just tie your hair back.
Jesus, man, that's scary.
You guys do understand I have a life insurance policy on her.
Oh,
right?
Okay. Well,
I
mean, yeah.
If she drowns in that hot tub,
more toys.
We're gonna have a great party.
Yeah. Okay. Oh wow.
We'll have a nice send off.
Man.
Yeah. It'll be the way that she would have wanted. She would have wanted a party like that.
Deep cuts.
Probably a little bit more closer to when she was 75 or something like that. But. So it was a good time. The only real bummer for me was, yes, there was really not a ton of nudity, but that's okay. I did get to see a one nipple. Contest between Kyle and Heidi.
Holy shit, that was, that was fast.
And I won.
So, yeah.
And I won. So here we are, guys. We're going to do a little bit different than usual with this, because I'm going to be honest with you. We've been doing this podcast for 7 or 8 years, and I know everyone loves the formula, and they like when we do this certain, here we're going to go from this segment to this segment. Guess who doesn't really love that anymore? Me. And I'm in charge, so today we're going to do it the way I want to do it.
Oh, boy.
Yep. And the fun thing I think about the three of us being here is that we're all vendors.
Mm-hmm.
Literally how we met.
Yep.
Kyle, you and I have shared this kind of conversation before, and everyone's aware of the kind of stuff that we sell. But Brian, I would like to discuss a little bit the kind of stuff that you have in your booth. So what are you primarily selling in your booth, Brian?
Not high-end Legion stuff, that's for sure. Nobody can compete with you.
No, thank God.
I keep it pretty basic. You know, everything always works. You know, I collect what I collect, what I like, what I know most about. But, you know, Superman, Star Wars. Statues, Marvel.
Would you say that's your jam right there, those three?
Yeah, DC's coming back. That's been kind of dead for a few years. You get a few here. I mean, that was great six, seven, 8 years ago, you know.
I'd say probably Brian is our friend that sells the most DC. I don't think, I mean, we all sell a little bit, but Brian sells like walls of it.
That's because I always loved, when I first showed up in Grand Rapids, I had a wall full of Kingdom Come figures. No one had seen those, and those went, it was like piranhas.
Yeah.
You know, I still this day, I get people ask me, Red Robin, you got it? You know,
yeah.
Because they remember I showed up with all that stuff. So, but yeah, I always had a lot of DC, but that kind of died off and Marvel kind of took over. So just like anything, if you don't have it in your booth, you got to have it. You know, and I love the Marvel stuff. You know,
right.
But I'm a DC for sure. But the Marvel ones, they took over at, what was it, Toy Biz before? I didn't even collect that. You know,
yeah,
I
just, Toy Biz
I
first.
I wasn't a fan of the figures. I mean, you had some good sculpts. I didn't like the big ball socks and stuff. It was aesthetics for me.
Right.
And, me too. That's why I didn't collect any of that line.
Yeah.
Toy Biz line.
With the hands
I'm right
that opened
there with
up. And...
The Baffs? Yeah. Love the Baffs.
Yeah. Yeah. It was phenomenal. The ones they had, they were huge. I mean.
Yep.
You know, but I think Red Hulk is when I first started collecting those. I really liked that line. Boy, I had so many of those. I wish I would have held on to those spirals, but. You know, but that one really grabbed me because I really liked that.
Yeah.
And since then, I started collecting the great sculpts.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. But I like the classic lines. So.
Would you say that you're more of a DC or Marvel guy?
DC for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you pull that mic just a little bit closer to you?
Just cup it like a ball bag. Like last night.
Well, if you'd have said that. mind if I act like I'm squeezing something?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
Maybe I can hang something here.
What's your favorite DC character?
It's always been Superman, but it does go back and forth. Batman. Depending on the writer and on the comics.
Yeah.
The artist. Those two for sure.
You know, I was one of those people that I was very late to Superman.
Yeah.
Until I read a couple great stories. Yeah. And I don't get me wrong. I loved the Christopher Reeve Superman movies.
There were kids. I mean, that was state of the art back then.
Yes. No, I was,
you watch it now, and I love it. Don't get me wrong, but I go, God, there's some corny.
Oh, yeah.
I will say, I never liked Margot Kidder. as a kid, I just did not like. I don't know what it was. She didn't do it.
I just saw recently that they showed a clips from all of the other actresses who
tried out,
and I was amazed that there were big-time actresses that tried out for that role.
I forget the one I like. Gosh darn, was it?
I can't either, but there were a lot of them.
Yeah, there was some.
And she beat them all out.
They just said she did. She was a good actress. She didn't do it for me.
Not pretty.
You see, I don't think I've...
Smoker's teeth. I don't know what it was. She always freaked me out.
I never really found her pretty.
No, if you would have taken Wilma Deering.
Erin Gray.
Erin Gray.
Yeah.
She was my favorite.
Yeah.
But Stocker Channing? I think she was
Stocker
one of
Channing?
Was she the one from Greece?
She was the one from Greece. Yeah,
she was on
Rizzo.
There, surprised me.
She was on there, surprised me, too. But some of the other actresses...
Ann Archer, I think, did.
Ann Archer, yes.
And
she would have been great.
That was the one I wanted. Yeah.
But I don't have any, like when you guys talk about Superman, I don't think I've ever read a Superman comic, not one.
Oh.
So mine is just from
cartoons and movies.
Yeah. So,
see, I didn't watch any of the cartoons. All that adventures and that. I mean, I was out of school by then.
Yeah.
I didn't even get into Superman until the death of. I just happened to catch and I just like Juergens art.
Yeah.
I had Juergens and Bond Gabe. And I just started reading it. Next thing you know, I'm going back.
I could not tell you an artist. I couldn't tell you a writer. Not a single.
All mine are later.
Yeah.
Like, mine are even later than Death of Superman.
So you're talking like when they split and they had like the blue suit Superman, the red suit,
later.
And Steel.
I really didn't get into those either. I read Death of Superman.
What I liked about that, I mean, Juergens, he created Doomsday out of that. He created Cyborg Superman. And then Steel came out of it. I mean, those are great characters. I'm trying to think. I'm probably leaving another, but though Cyborg, Superman, and Doomsday are awesome villains, and they all came out of that story. So
yeah,
that's why I liked it so much, and I like Juergens' artwork. You know, and then obviously
that was great art
towards the late '90s. Jim Lee came in and started doing it, some great stories.
Yeah,
but actually, to me, Kingdom Come, that was the one, and that's Alex Ross.
That's Alex Ross. Now
that's phenomenal.
That man's, you can't mistake his artwork. It's same thing with Jim Lee. You just know it when you see it.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And I don't know a lot of no matter what comic it's for or whatever, Transformers, G.I. Joe.
But you know that artwork.
But I know that artwork. Yeah. Alex Ross and...
I just thought Elseworld stories are great. When you do something, that and Red Sun Superman.
That's one I haven't read.
Yeah.
So I imagine that's pretty good stuff.
It's a good. Yeah. I
Red
it.
Sun, is that the...
where he's Russian?
In Russia. Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
He lands in Russia instead of...
And they did the video to it for 2-3 years, and they did a nice job on it. They do a pretty good job. I've seen the movies that DC does, and they do a nice job. But as for the adventures back in the 90s, Batman, Superman, I never watched any of those.
So you never... watch, like, Justice League? And Justice League Unlimited?
No,
and...
never saw any of that.
Holy fuck,
that stuff didn't come out until 92 or 3.
But I will tell you...
It's good stuff.
It's worth going back.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I've caught clips where I saw that was pretty cool. I got, you know, one of these days I'd go see it, but I just haven't, you know.
The storylines are good, but the internal stuff. Well, you just assume that when you bring all of these superheroes together that they're just going to gel and they're going to fight crime, and half the time it's...
Well, that...
You know, they don't agree with Bruce, and then they think Clark
is
too much of a... Yeah.
But,
yeah, and then, you know, you never know when Martian Manhunter is going
to
show up.
You get to delve in all that. In the movies, you can't.
You don't have time.
People, like, you know, you didn't see enough of this. They don't have time. In a two-hour movie, you know, they don't have time. But in shows, you can flesh all that out, and that's what makes them great, why people like them so much, because you remember all the different stuff.
Yeah.
You know, but when you don't see that, you know, that's what drives me nuts. You can't fit all that in a two-hour movie.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to... Go see the
those Justice
watch
League
the shows to get the background. Go read the comics to get the background. You can't show everything in a movie.
They're good. Those shows are good.
Yeah,
I think they're very underrated.
You know what was actually because I did not read any DC really growing up. What actually sucked me in was Hush.
Yeah, that was a good show. Yep.
Yep. And I was a Jim Lee fan, so I kind of followed Jim Lee. Yep.
You followed him from his X-Men days and whatnot.
Yep, X-Men, and I was a big Image fan. I loved Image comics, even though like a lot of it was trash. But the art was beautiful.
Not Rob.
Yeah, Lee. The art. Some of the stuff.
Not Liefeld's.
That was gold, right?
Oh God, that's what turned me off to all that. I started seeing those covers because I like art gets me into it. But I'm like, God, I just thought it was awful the way he drew.
So you were always an anti-Rob guy.
I did not like
big chest.
You know,
big chest, small feet.
Here. It's like, what the hell, you know, yeah, little feet if he draws them, lots of pockets, but, you know, or pouches, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, he really odd.
I loved Youngblood.
which was his, you know, first flagship book there in Image. But it was just because I liked the characters. Mm. He did design some good characters, but he never fleshed them out right or anything. It never ended up being I mean, there's a reason why it doesn't. I think it still exists, but it doesn't exist the same way, obviously. So I read Hush, and then that kind of sucked me in, and then I went back and read some back issues and certain things. So, but I've always been a trade guy. So
yeah, I think during Hush, I got out of comics for like 5 years, and that all happened. That happened on Superman for Tomorrow with Jim Lee's run on that. And here I get out of it. I went and collected in 92. I basically until about 95, 96, I went back and collected every Superman back to. Until 1982, I think. You know, I picked a date when Adventures was 424 and it was the end, and then they shifted to the new. I started there and just got every filled them all in, had them all in, and I got out of it, and then all those come out. So then I had to go back and get all those and fill that in. You know, and those were happened to be the Jim Lee covers where now everybody wants $25-$30, and you know, so that sucked. But ever since then, I won't stop. I still get every Superman comic, you know, and every Batman now because I don't want to miss them.
How many right now? How many different Superman arcs are out?
Well, they cut it down, actually. You still have Action, of course. And then Superman went to his son, you know, Kal-El's son of Superman. And I might be a little off because actually I've been collecting. I haven't read a book in like 3 or 4 years now, but I can't
see. So you're collecting them, but you're not reading them. I'm not reading them. Oh, jeez.
Well, just so like, because I just got too busy and I still get them. And I'm like, I'm going to sit down one day. You know,
and
I'm
going to. Yeah.
You know, like I'll one day, I'll get COVID and I'll be down for.
Yeah, it's the same. One day you're going to be in a hospital room. You have to have Nicole bring you a box of comics.
That's what I did with The Walking Dead when I was buying all those. I was going to Mexico for work, so I just took them on the plane.
Fuck Walking Dead.
Reading all the trades.
Yeah,
he gave me something to read. And again, up until recently, I was buying all the trades along with the books. So I just put the books away, and they're doing great. About DC is every 4 or 5 weeks they got out the trade. So I was just buying those. So I got all those stacked up, and I figured out
that's how I would do it. I couldn't buy comic books anymore. My issue was last time I bought a comic book was
they were 5 cents.
No, when they were black and white. You got them in a cereal box. No, when Jim Lee was with that small group and they were doing Transformers, and it wasn't Image. It was whatever they just recently finally disbanded it. But for a while, it was Jim Lee and a few other guys that got together and they did Transformers. Ben would be able to help me out with this. And the artwork, same thing, just drew me in. And then I'm buying the standard cover, then I'm buying the black and white cover, then I'm buying the metallic cover, and then I'm buying the alternate metallic cover that has the other, like Prime, and then Megatron. So I'm buying four of the same book. And I did it for like, I don't know, like 6 months. Yeah. So I had like this whole short box, and it literally was just 8 comic books as far as the run went.
Yeah.
But I had like 32 books. I'm like, this is I can't do this anymore. I have to stop. I can't. But the artwork was amazing.
Publishers love people like us, though. Toy companies, they love people. They're like, hey, guess what? We're going to release the same figure, but a different package.
Right now, Catwoman. Yeah. Just out of the blue, hey, we're going to have 5 covers. We got a Campbell. We got this. And I got to get all those. Got to get Campbell. Got to get Lee. Got to get Alan Hughes.
It's the same book.
Yeah, same book.
So you spent $25 or $30, bucks, whatever they are now. For one story and 5 covers.
Hey, this one's a 1 in 10, but that's a 1 in 50. Pay, you know.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
No way.
Brian, are you doing a poll at a comic book shop?
Yeah. Yep. Good guy out there, Comics Corner in Utica and Grosbeck area. Dan, a really good guy. I started going to him after COVID. Shop I was at, been around a long time, but it was just too long of a drive, and my discount got less and less. So I was like, nope. And then went to a guy that's 10 minutes from my work. So
yeah,
really good. And Dan, his dad was, I should know more about him. He's a good dude. His dad passed away a few years ago, but his dad's been comics since the 70s. Everybody growing up around there went to his dad.
Yeah.
But a great, anytime I need something, Dan finds it.
So how often do you do your, how often do you pick up your?
Once a week.
And
once
how many books do you pick up a week?
Usually about $250 worth. some are for a friend and another friend.
How much are comics now?
$3.99 is the cheapest.
I was gonna guess.
But a lot of $7.99s and last couple of years you got 80th anniversary of Green Lantern.
Superman,
so hey, we're gonna do 20 covers. Just 10-50 Superman. They had 25 different covers. Now I normally used to get them all, but I just went and got the. I'll look through them and get the ones I like, the covers, because a lot of nice shit. They ain't dumb. Put them out because you know they're gonna get them.
Yeah. So.
That is not a rabbit hole I could jump back down.
It's I've thought to myself after, you know, last week it was $450 and it was $250 this week, and I'm just, all right. And I do get
And you're not even reading them, motherfucker.
I'm not even reading them. but he actually finally, you know, I start ordering toys, but not knowing what's going on with COVID and everything. I finally started getting stuff in 112. Not on him. They're finally shipping stuff. So, yeah, one week all of a sudden, hey, you got 3 112s in.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I get them for Kenny, you know. So I think I just picked up the Constantine for him and stuff. And it's just like some weeks.
Is it comic Constantine or is it movie Constantine?
That is the comic one.
Okay.
I get it, but I'm all Keanu Reeves.
They're actually going to do it.
I saw that in the theater by myself. I was on a job in Kalamazoo.
Doesn't get enough credit. Nothing.
Good movie.
Yeah. And this is when I worked for somebody, and they sent me to paint a Weight Watchers. And I get there at 9 o'clock, and they're very surprised to see me. And I'm like, "Well, this is scheduled." And they're like, "Oh, yes, no problem. Except for we scheduled a thing between 1 and 3, and you can't be here." And I'm like, okay, what am I going to do? So they felt really bad. So they all paid for my lunch and sent me to the movie theater, and I watched Constantine by myself. And I tell you what, I've watched it about as much as I've watched Star Wars movies. I mean, I just love it. It's a great movie.
Check it out.
Yeah. It's a good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was excited to hear they were thinking about doing another one.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to kind of describe your booth, and I know you kind of did it there a little bit, but I always feel like you have a booth that I would say is one of the best booths at a show. And you're,
I think so.
It certainly has the most variety.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
it's gotten more organized. It was kind of, there was years, a lot of shit packed in
there. The organization is, yeah, you're not slinging around those giant black 2x4.
Four by eight walls.
You're using 6-inch bolts to put them together, and you got grid wall and stuff. And you're right. He's got statues over here, and he's got sports figures here, and Star Wars, Marvel, and stuff. And he's come a long way that I've noticed since we've been friends. He's almost there. He just prices his shit,
we'll be okay. Come over here and help me out. I let you go price out my Black Series. He runs through it.
Yeah,
you know, gives you a chance to see what I got.
I did.
Oh, hey, I got to set that aside. You know.
Yep, I did.
Yep.
Yeah,
Motor City last year.
You guys have a good mix too of loose and and package.
I'm getting down. I got to start buying some lots, but it's
opening stuff up.
Yeah.
You know, that's where
I'm debated on a lot of my old DC stuff. I'm going, you know what? I might just build the figures. They're doing good. Go ahead and sell them. You know, especially with eBay going through. They're getting good prices on eBay, but I'm like, I'm not paying all that. I'd rather. Yeah. You know, pass the savings on to somebody else there, and I have a shit ton of DC Classics, and it's a great line, you know, so I want to start easing those out, but I thought it takes up a lot less room. I'm just going to start building my bill of figures. I mean, hell, I think you've gotten at least 2 Gigantas off for me over the years. There was a time
I need another one, too.
Yeah, well, I've got 2 or 3 left. You ain't getting one. I think you got my last one.
So yeah. DC Classics is...
That's my favorite
line. Yeah, I was going to say, what is your favorite line?
It would say that.
Yeah.
I always liked the DC Direct stuff until finally started actually doing good articulation. Then they went away.
Yeah.
You know, but no, DC, to me, it's a comic line. You know, it wasn't overdone. The Marvel stuff is phenomenal. I like it. But as a pure comic line, I like that. They used all the same bucks. They were all continuity was there that, you know, and very few figures I really didn't like, you know. Bummed they didn't do some others, you know. And I didn't like when they switched to the new style. As I call it, the Four Horsemen was the H-hip, or the, what they call it, T-hip, or the way the hip went out.
Yeah.
I like that, you know, and the crotch was the same on all of them. And then the last couple waves, they did it more like the Marvel Legends, and it just didn't go with the rest of the line.
Yeah.
And it just kind of, but they did Kingdom Come Superman, they did, I forget, they did a lot of great figures. Kind of, I just wanted them to stay along that same line, you know, but.
It's weird with me, And I don't get me wrong, I know Hasbro's done this too, but it seems like the one thing that is strange to me is how many different like size variations there are between like DC action figures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, well, DC Direct was stuck with their 7-inch. That's what they would do. And so then he had this 6-inch light. To me, that's the common size.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, you know, I can't remember, there was a... It seemed like there was even like a 5-inch kind of stuff that
they
was.
They did the icons. They do like a 5.5-inch. They came out with the you know, the bigger icons that were 6 to 6.5. It's like, But they were showing the variations, you know, and they actually did it right. A couple of the
Males guy are taller, should be tall.
Harley Quinn was a little small. Okay, you got that right. And well, then a year later, they up and the whole line. And
yeah, I think the icons might be my up there too. Yeah, because they just look sharp. Great. The box, the packaging was great too. But yeah, I really did like the way those
looked. How was the quality on the icons though?
I didn't open any of mine.
I opened all mine out of all of them because Batman, I didn't even notice it. The Batman Classic had no left foot. I'm like, that's nice. So I'm looking. Eventually, I'll find one that's beat up and get an ankle, you know, replace it. But it was just gone. That was the only one, though, you know. And I'll say, I hear a lot of people complaining about stuff. I haven't had very many broken figures, and I've opened thousands of figures. Although I just opened up my Batman McFarlane, that special pack, you know.
The big blue with the big blue
one. I said, I'm going to open that up. And go to take the arms, but they broke. The pins were gone, broke in the arms.
Oh,
I'm like, what the hell? I go to put it in there, and it just snapped. And I guess that was a problem.
Well, if you bought those two from me at Grand Rapids and you broke them, no take backsies.
Actually, those I ordered directly from McFarlane, I think. Yeah. There or Target.
I got mine through. It was great.
And
because
I sold two, and that one I kept.
I bought two. I paid for two, and they sent me three.
Yay.
So it was great.
Winning.
That's nice. I had that happen. Yeah. That's pretty nice.
It's a good feeling.
Wonder Twins, they sent me extras.
Oh, that would have been a good one. That was a
single. I ordered like four of them. And all of a sudden they shipped them to my old address. I called them and said, listen, I haven't lived there for a couple of years. You guys sent them. So they sent them. Well, then I go to my old address, happen to run into guys that were working on it. And they're like, oh, yeah, something was here. We threw it in the trailer. And I went and found it on a job, you know. Mm-hmm. So I got all those. And they were $25 from Maddie Collectors. So I got four or five.
Oh,
they
geez.
Sent me a whole nother, you know. Me, dumbass. I gave them to my friends for $25. He went, oh, here you go. And then he goes and sells it for $150. I'm like,
no, not for me.
No. I didn't even know you guys then.
I bought mine.
And then he asked me for another one later.
Like, of course.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you got another one of those? For
Yay, friends.
Yeah, and then I had one do that on a Gigana. They were going for $300. I think I said, hey, you know, a good friend. I said, just give me $80. You know,
yeah.
And a couple months later, hey, I need a Gigana. I'm like, hey, I traded that. He went and traded it for a ton of shit.
That's a dick move right there.
I'm like, God, and he's a friend that helped me out a lot. Doing, you know, he would help you and do it for you, but then he'd think nothing of that. And it's like you kind of don't do it that way. But
my Giganta that I got from you is my Giganta.
Yeah,
my personal one. Yeah.
The things I did with that.
Ugh. How are you feeling about the McFarlane stuff?
I like it. I will say we talked about that before, a lot of bitching. But he's doing a lot of crazy figures that people wouldn't even do, you know.
And the bitching.
And I like that, you know, if you like customizing, it's great. You're getting all kinds of stuff, you know. Yeah, they're doing a lot of Batman's. Batman sells.
Oh, my God.
That's what
it
is. Batman sells.
I thought when Marvel put out, you know, Spider-Man, that was a lot. Holy crap. Every wave of McFarlane seems like you get six figures.
He's toning off.
And three of them are Batman, and then three of them are whatever else.
That Batman sell. And look, everybody's trying to go back and get those Batmans now.
So that's the thing for me is, like, I know that's one gripe. Too many Batmans.
They could cut it back, but you're also getting...
Well, the dude loves Batman. I mean, he's not going to
cut it back. He loves Batman, and Batman sells.
Yeah.
And that's just it. It's
There are so many different... I mean, you can only put...
Well, what was it? Back
Spider-Man in so many outfits.
Yeah. Right.
You know. They would still do it. You know, back in when every line had eight Spider-Mans and Batmans when they did all those 4-inch ones.
Oh, yeah.
I remember they had thousands of Batman figure. You know, they're doing everything. Arctic Batman, friggin' Inferno Batman.
Oh, yeah. That's the Kenner line, yeah.
Yeah, I think if you go, the two most figures done are Batman and Spider-Man.
Yeah, they have to be.
Oh, they're just nuts. They just do everything for them.
There is like a Rey Mysterio figure that apparently, like, people talk about the wrestling figure. There's like... 125 different versions of him or something like that.
They had different color masks.
Different color masks.
Yes, yeah, all that
My
stuff.
Buddy would ask me to look for those. I was like, dude, I don't know nothing.
Yeah,
about. They all look the same
thanks.
To me.
Well, shit, Talmadge, Ben, and Joe Reed, how many
Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
Oh, hundreds. Yeah. Hundreds.
We kind of forget about, I mean, obviously I know you don't, Kyle, but man, Transformers, they don't stop.
Yeah.
No. They, like, don't stop. Like, when has there ever been a break for Transformers?
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, I mean, it just keeps, they just keep pumping
them
out.
I remember watching the original
G.I. Joe.
I did watch that cartoon when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. How old are you, Brian?
50.
Yep, just turned 50. So we're all pretty much right in that same same range where we were watching the same cartoons. How did you feel about the Transformers movie?
What, the ones that are out now?
No, 86, no, the cartoon. The animated
86. Cartoon.
I don't think I've seen that one.
What?
Damn. Oh
I haven't dude. Been watching a whole lot of anything lately.
Oh, but this, I mean, this would have been when you were younger. Yeah, I mean,
it was 86.
I had to probably see it, but honestly don't remember.
This is one where Optimus dies.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
I fell off. Yeah. Yeah, you rotten bastards.
That was the year. No. That was right after that summer. That movie was the year I took a break. From all of it, collecting and everything.
Well, that's, I think it I was, got more into my
high school
sports.
Yeah, it was girls and sports.
Star Wars was over, you know, I remember, and I never thought it would, because I remember put it all away, like in 84, I got into baseball.
Yeah.
Detroit Tigers, I started playing, and it's like I was out of everything until frickin' November of 92 when I was at the flea market and saw The Death of Superman. I'm like, oh, that's kind of interesting. Yeah. Got it, looked on the back.
Look at that cool-ass cover.
Yeah, and I flipped it over, and you know, it had...
Are you talking about the black and red, bloody...
It was just the 75, but it was the trade. So it had, had the collection of the death of.
Yep.
And then, so I'm like, oh, wow. And so then I went to my, you know, local comic store there in New Baltimore at the time. And then I saw that it was ongoing right then, that he was, you know, they just put it out after the death came out. So then I picked right up with there. And then so I went, you know, started going back to get the, you know, and shit.
That's
and
about
down,
yeah,
downhill from
there. Sounds
that.
To me about the same amount of time I started to get back in. Yep. About 20 years old. Yeah, 20
and then
years
I,
old.
Yeah, going to a comic store. Hey, I saw Action Figure Digest by Tomar.
Oh, my God.
Oh, look at that.
Toy
Star
Fair
Wars.
Magazine?
Brian's Toys.
Off.
I can buy the old Star Wars stuff. So next thing you know, I'm buying a TIE Interceptor. Da, da, da. Actually, that I might have got at one of the first Detroit shows in the box. The TIE Interceptor was like my favorite ship, you know. But I started ordering the figures. Next thing you know, I get my old figures out, and I'm cleaning them all up. Oh, what do I need? What can I replace? Couple years later, I got it all.
That was 2 weeks ago, and now he's 50.
Yeah. Well, our made a flea market out by me. A kid was selling, and I see him at shows now. I started buying the shuttle off him, started buying figures, this and that, and it just kind of rolled. I lived right around the corner from the Armada flea market, and he was there with a lot of nice vintage Star Wars. This is 92, summer of 92, mm-hmm. fall. Actually, it probably would have been the summer of 93, because I think Superman Death was the fall of 92, so...
You have anything displayed at home?
Right now, no. In between, but usually I would have a few things out. Nothing too crazy. I have a lot of stuff packed away, ready to go. I got about a dozen showcases ready to go up.
Yep.
So is that the plan?
That's the plan. I collect too much shit, though.
So that's another thing. I love kind of talking about the hoarder aspect of us. You know, like
it's a collecting. It's not hoarding.
Oh, of course.
Me, it's hoarding. I passed collecting about 10 years ago.
Well, it's wild because when I have...
Dude, I'm setting my drinks on boxes of toys next to my chair at home in my living room. I mean, I don't have an end table anymore.
My bedroom had stacks and all the latest Star Wars flash years all in boxes. Yeah. Like, all right, I got to put this shit away.
Yeah.
Pulling it down.
Exactly.
And putting it away.
That's hoarding.
Yeah.
That's hoarding. The
This room is collecting.
Wild thing about this is we don't hoard anything else. So it's not... You're not really a hoarder. You're a collector, of course, but... When you look at that collection, any normal person would look at it and go, this motherfucker is a hoarder.
He's got an issue.
Oh, I have. Yeah, I have no idea. I have no issues. I have no issues talking to anybody about my problems.
I just thought, hey, I could have been spending this on alcohol and drugs, and I got nothing.
Oh, I got into it with a friend of mine. Play golf. I mean, he's like, we stopped at a Meijer. This is back when... You know, movie stuff was out, and I said, "Well, I'm just gonna run over the toy section real quick." And I bought a couple things. He says, "What are you doing?" I'm like, I explained to him what I was doing, and he says, "What is?" I'm like, "I said, what are you talking about?" I said, "Let me tell you." I said, "What did you do last weekend?" He said, "I went and played golf." I said, "Where'd you go?" Thornapple. Okay. I said, "So you spent $200 to play 18 holes of golf? You had a great time." Yeah.
Yeah.
I said, "That money's gone. It's gone."
Yeah.
I said, "I spent $15 on two action figures, and I'm either gonna keep them." Or maybe 10 years down the road, they might be worth $30 each. And he just was just on me. And I'm like, it's the same hobby. It's just that you look at it from different perspective.
Yeah.
I said, your hobby is golf, and you're done with it. Every time you play, you're done.
You're never getting that back.
You're never getting that back. I said, tomorrow I could decide to sell this and make some money or keep it or take a loss on
even.
It. Or even if I broke
you
even.
You got your money back.
I didn't get made fun of anymore. But there's still that, you know, it's toys, so it's not serious.
And I get it. It is hard to understand if you're, like, Sometimes I don't like it when Heidi comes in this room because, like,
we start adding up the money.
And that's what happens. Like, we kind of were sitting around, like, just kind of thinking about that. And if you just kind of, like, put in your mind, well, let's just keep it simple and say $10 each.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, holy shit.
There's 1,000 figures in it.
Yeah. You know, it gets pretty wild.
I can't think like that because I still have a mortgage payment.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, man, I really wouldn't have this mortgage payment if I
didn't buy toys.
Just every time I went to buy a toy, just put that money in an envelope and stuck it in a safe.
They put it, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but it can't grow. Like you said.
Well, that is the difference for us.
Yeah.
We're not the average collector.
Yeah.
Because we're flipping.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we are supporting our habit.
Yeah.
And a lot of times.
I don't have a problem with everybody says scalpers. It's like, you know what? And that person that bitches about, then they go get a figure and find, oh, this is worth $100. Guess what they want for it? They want $100. Well, how about you go sell it for what you paid for it?
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to bitch about people flipping it, but it, you know, not forcing anybody to buy it from you.
Yeah.
I do have a gun.
Yeah. Well,
the only thing.
Your wife would say it's a little one, but.
Yeah. Right.
The only thing I understand when people get upset about scalping is, if you really are going in and clearing the shelves at a store, I understand you're hurting the collectors in your area. Yeah. I understand that. I get it. But I also, like Kyle, sometimes can look at it and go, motherfucker, you could have went to the store.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There are or you could have ordered it. Yep. I get bummed, but I go, you know what? Most of my stuff I order.
Yeah.
You know, and
that's me too now.
And to be honestly, I mean, there's times I would see five of something on the shelf and I'll buy two.
Yeah.
I don't take them all, but that's my choice. And if I did, tough luck.
Yeah.
You know, but I understand how people get frustrated with it, but it is what it is. Either you take the time. To me, there's times it's just not worth my time to go running from store to store. I go, you know what? I just blew off an hour of work on overtime to make what? $5 on a figure, $10 when I just lost way more than that. So I go, you know what? Great. If I run into it, I'll grab it, this and that. But, you know, I think I do it more. I started doing it more for fun, not to flip, just to get rid of stuff and see what's out there new, and then just realize how it was fun. And it's like, might as well make a little money at it, make it worth your while. Don't want to cost myself money, you know. But I tell people that you buy a figure for $20 and I'm getting 30 for it, you know, you're making $9 on it. It's all right.
Yeah.
You know, and then when you start, but you don't realize you do that enough times, you're making money. I mean, people don't, oh, yeah, I guess so. You know, overall, making money on it. So
you still love selling at shows?
I do. I enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's gotten a little rough at times, or just a little frustrating, just overwhelmed. A
lot of work.
Yeah. You know, Nicole has been coming the last couple, 2 years, a lot of shows has helped a lot, you know, because I'm not so frustrated trying to get set up, so frustrated trying to tear down. You know, that helps.
Yeah, because for the most part, you know, you do these shows by yourself. You don't have.
I always did.
Yeah.
I mean, I was doing Grand Rapids on the last one out, and then I'm driving three and a half hours home. It was a lot of work. It was more work than anything, but I enjoyed that time being in there, but. You know,
I've probably done now 3 shows by myself. Yeah. And when I say I've done 3 shows by myself, you guys are there. You know, Kyle is
I'm
there.
Set up.
Yes. He has his own booth that he's running.
So I can't be helping Trevor in his booth. Yeah.
And I actually don't mind the work part so much. Now, like I said, 3 times, much, much different than what you've done. That show is not even close to as fun.
Yeah. It's work. It becomes work.
It's work.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all of a sudden where I'm just sitting in the chair going, this is fucking boring.
Yeah.
And not having a buddy, you know, your wife or whoever there to just make it fun for you, you know, so you can enjoy it. That part, I don't like that. Yeah. If I had to go do shows by myself, I probably wouldn't do shows.
If it's good, you meet a lot of people, so that makes it go by and you talk to them and that. But I think the first show I did here with you, when I met you, Kenny came up and stayed the night. He was only there for a couple hours, but that Saturday, the first show I did in Grand Rapids, I didn't get out of my booth all day. Didn't have nothing to eat, nothing to drink. It was so dry, my lips started bleeding. I mean, it just sucked. I couldn't get out of the booth to get something to eat or something to drink or use the bathroom.
Yeah.
And it was a horrible day.
Is that where we met? It's Grand Rapids? Yeah. First time?
Because you were on the other side. You had Star Wars on the other side.
And, yeah.
And I kind of came over. I think that's right when the TIE Fighter came out, the big one for the first order, because you had one, and I was thinking about getting it.
Yeah.
You know, but we kind of met there, and there was like 2 other booths with toys, and the rest, well, I had flying squirrels getting sold next to me.
That's right.
Nuts. It was like oh my a goddamn God. Flea market. And
I
was
oh my like, God.
And I'm all for people. And
I remember that. Oh my God. Story. The sugar gliders. Yeah.
And I had kids in my booth. All of a sudden, they boom, went over there. Next thing, she pulled a card, spent $800 to $1,500, and then they were gone. I pulled a lot of people out of my booth because the kids saw them, you know, and that they were like, okay,
they don't, yeah, we're done. That was the only
and I
year
did
they
good
did
that
too.
Show, but I could have done a lot better if that thing had been next to me.
Listen to me. I fucking loved action figures. If I walked into a place and there was a fucking cool ass action figure right here, but there was a sugar glider right here, I fucking want that sugar glider. As a kid.
I ran into somebody that was doing, he said, how'd the show go? I said, you know what? I had a great show, a great time. I said, but that was odd. And I said, I'll be honest. They're selling shingles over here.
It feels like a flea market.
It was.
They definitely don't do that anymore.
There was only like four of us with toys in the whole place.
But they've gotten big enough where they now are.
Yeah. Well, they phased them out.
Yeah.
And he says, well,
we're not doing gutters. We're not doing.
They needed them that back then.
They did. And that's true. And I said they needed to fill the place. And it served. It was great. But that's not. But me as a person coming in there to pay, I'm not coming in the friggin' shop for friggin' shingles and gutters and. I come to see toys and comics. And
who the fuck goes to Comic-Con for that stuff?
And you see a couple of booths, you know, and I'd have been disappointed.
Yeah.
You know, obviously the sugar gliders, everybody goes nuts. They're cute as shit. But what 12-year-old goes, damn, that's some good-looking shingles.
You know? The thing is, I can't remember if I talked to somebody or if one of my friends talked to somebody.
They did well there.
And that's what they said. Yeah. All it takes.
One sale. All it takes is one sale.
One sale was fucking well worth them.
The booth was... Because $300 or $400 for the weekend, they did a sale for $8,000 for gutters, but shingles. You're talking $15,000, $18,000, $20,000 at the time.
Yeah. So they get to stare at our cute wives.
Yeah.
They get to stare at the cute cosplayers. Yeah. It's probably a pretty good fucking day for that dude.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. No, that was odd. But he said they slowly phased them out, which I get it. You make that a trade show, you know, but. They needed them to fill it.
They slowly phased out the sugar gliders and the gutter guys when they slowly brought in all of the anime and
crafters.
Yeah. I didn't walk around a whole lot, but I did notice a little bit more of that going on.
Brian, what is your favorite show to sell at?
Well, it's still Motor City. That's the biggest. You get the most people through there. So, yeah. Although I enjoy doing Grand Rapids more, probably because we got to hang out more and do stuff like that. But Motor City, I mean, you're getting a lot of people through there. They're pumping the people. And now they've doubled the size of the damn place. Booths are getting expensive. I think they went up another 50 this year. I'm not sure. I got to look back. Feels like it went up 50. And I'm like...
For an inline, right?
Yeah.
I wonder what they went for corners. $850 for an inline?
I want to say it was $850.
It's $850. It was $850 for the fall one.
And it
for
was
an
$750 last year, I'm pretty sure.
I think a corner is over a grand.
$1,100 It was last year. I think it's $1,150 this year. I'd have to double check. I hate to misspeak, but yeah. And it's gone. I mean, God dang, 6-7 years ago, it was $450. You know, it seems like it's doubled.
Yeah.
Which you get it. Things are expensive, this and that, but you got to keep the cost down. I mean, because we can only raise our stuff so much. People coming in the door when they got to, they spend $150.
Oh, there will be. There are people, I think this past year, the Motor City.
A lot of complaints
about ticket prices. Yeah.
Kids shouldn't have to pay at all. And
not any day of the week. The kids are free on Sunday. Kids, let them come in free. You can charge the adults fine.
Yeah.
But hell, you're making $10 cash on parking.
Yeah.
Sweet Jesus. And one time we sat there and added up how many cars. They're making a lot of money on the parking.
Hey, you trying to bring your family of five to a show like that?
Yeah, can't do it.
You've already spent all that?
Well, you can do it if you go one day.
Yeah.
And it's still $200.
And you're not buying anything.
No.
Yeah, kids were going to kind of walk around. Hopefully you can find a $10 toy.
Yeah.
It's
like they're coming there for the experience, but it just sucks they have to burn that much money.
Shows like that are more for the celebrity grab.
Yeah.
And I know at Motor City, they took that whole other area that they added on, so you can't even... It used to be you'd be able to walk to the T-shirt vendor, then you walk to your favorite artist, then you could walk over and see, a celebrity. Now they've got them in a whole other area.
Yeah.
So they're completely... If you didn't know that the celebrities were there, you wouldn't know they were there.
I didn't get a chance to walk over there this year.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Which I'm guessing is good for traffic and stuff, but it was nice that you could walk around in the main area and see the cast from Dukes of Hazzard or whatever.
Yeah.
And you didn't have to go specifically somewhere else.
In the place, and
get funneled through, a little area. And then once you got over there, they have it all bricked off. You know, it's so it's like you have to go down this aisle to see these people. And it's like you lose something there.
Yeah.
You lose something there. I'm glad it's bigger, but, you know.
Yeah, pricier.
It's still one of the best shows I've ever had.
It's the third in the country behind New York and
San Diego.
Yeah, as of like last year.
Really? Bigger than Chicago?
Yeah. They said it gets the most traffic. I was kind of shocked that.
Yeah, that surprised me, like C2E2.
C2E2's up and coming, though. C2E2, yeah. When you think about it, it's only been around for X amount of years. Yeah. Motor City's been around for 30 years.
At C2E2, what was it, 08, Thor was out, went there. It was a cool show, but it
C2E2's getting bigger, and well, they're learning, and they're figuring it out, as opposed to, what was the Wizard World?
Which used to be huge.
They can't get out of their own way now.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, at one point, I thought Motor City was going to sell to them.
Yeah, it was very close. I think it was a backed out deal, and so there are a lot of bad feelings about that.
Yeah,
so,
well, I'm glad because...
Yeah. Obviously, it worked out.
It worked, yeah, because Wizard World, I did not care for the way they did their shows.
Yeah. C2E2, I remember the first time I went to one, it was, they had carpeted aisles.
Yeah.
Oh, it's nice. And I was down. Like...
Well, they did that at Indy. They used to do that at Indy.
The carpet, they got ropes and
I was like, what the?
Yeah.
Now, I also talked to a vendor at it, a guy at a 10x10 selling toys.
Yeah.
And a lot like us. And I talked to him about it, and he said, you have to have, because I said, how do you make this work? Like,
it's expensive.
The price of the show, the price of your hotel, to, I mean, it's when you're right downtown Chicago like that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. $350 a night.
Crazy shit. You know, and so I said, how do you make this work? And he said, you have to have so much inventory that every night it's like this just huge restock.
Yeah.
So you're right back out to your trailer again. And I'm like, fuck, my trailer, everything that I is all in my booth.
Well, I had, I overstock my booth. But guys are like, why don't you do Chicago? You got enough stuff. I just like, I can still sell all that in Detroit. And I'm not paying $300 a night hotel. Yeah. I'm not paying $1,800 for a booth.
Yeah.
I said, it just to me, that's just taking away my profit.
I want you to come to the Chicago Toy Show so bad.
Which one? Is that the one?
King County?
King County? Even if you don't sell at it, which you should sell at it, but even, because I know it's a haul for you, but even if you guys just came for a night and checked it out, it's...
Well, I almost did it during COVID, but they were going to put me in an outbuilding with no heat.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I wasn't sure how things were coming back from COVID. I really didn't. And I'm like, where? And they're like, well, it's out there. I'm going, I can't drive 7, 8, 9 hours and then not be out there and not even knowing what kind of traffic I'm going to get. I'm sitting there and I just... took a whole weekend off, and I'd be stewing and pissed off.
I'd never be in an outbuilding.
Absolutely not.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Those outbuildings have great traffic, and they've got great stuff, but I could not be in April and October when it could either be 70 or 17.
Yeah.
We've had it, and they've done some work now on some of these places, but we had a buddy who had it was raining, and he literally had a fucking, like, hole in the ceiling right in his booth, and just water.
Yeah.
Was that Alex?
I can't remember. Bob? Alex or Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah. You start to look at that kind of stuff and now you want to make sure you get in the right room.
I have a bigger trailer too that I've had for years that eventually when I'm done I'd like to just make that as my, I could fit 6 booths worth of shit in that trailer.
Yeah.
I got, it's a 20 foot long. The one I got now, I can actually, if I have an 8 foot bed, I could pack that, pack the trailer. But I'd like to get something where you just go in there and I can go, hey, I got a 1 day show. I'm pulling this out. 2 days, a lot easier to instead of scrambling.
Make that trailer a walkthrough, and he could just pull up to the parking lot of Kane.
Like, come on in.
Yeah, there you go. It's big enough. Just door off the side. Yeah.
So you said talking to people and I will say that is still easily one of my favorite parts about selling at shows is and I tell people this all the time. You're gonna have people that walk into your booth that you have never met before and they love DC classics and you get to have a 2 minute
about it,
to a 15 minute conversation probably conversation with them about this thing that you both fucking love
that you're passionate about
that's
I've told I get made fun at work all the time, hey, what do you dress up, this and that. I said, listen, I've seen some pretty nice costumes, so I'd send them some pictures, and that kind of ended pretty quickly when I'm sending
some. Same thing when you.
Yeah, I'm like, they're like that, sir? Yeah, they're pretty nice looking. But I said, I've met people. There's a couple guys now that I've known. I'd started doing shows in 2000, so been 20 years. But yep. I was doing the local Gibraltars for 5 or 6, but been doing Novi for probably 12 to 15. I met guys with their kids when their kids were 5. Now they're 20 coming in my booth. And it's just kind of cool. You still see that interaction, a guy with their kid, you know, and maybe he's on to different things now, but they still have that one thing together, and that's pretty cool, you know, to talk about people with that kind of thing. I mean, I've met a few that take it a little too serious.
Oh, yeah.
Very few. Yeah. You know, not that often. And there's some they get a little excited about. And,
yeah.
But you still talk to them, never rude to them, you know. Just, mm-hmm. I'll just be like, I really don't know that much about that. Get myself out of it, but... hardly a bad experience. Yeah. I can think of, on my hand, one hand I can think of the people that I've basically told to get out of my booth.
Yeah.
You know, just ignorant. There, it's like, why are you at a Comic-Con if you're here? And they just go, you know.
Yeah, we did Indy this last year. My son came with us, and he was helping us set up and just being, you know, in the booth in case it got overflowed. And these people would just grab a hold of him and start talking. He says, Dad, I've learned more about Transformers in the last 30 minutes than I've ever wanted to know. He says, oh, my God, I just didn't know what to do. I said, whenever you ever get somebody, just nod to them, tell them, yep, you really don't know. And then I said, they'll just flag me down. I'll come over and take care of you. I'll come bail you out.
Yeah. It's always a Transformer fan.
No, which I got. There's times they were older, but you could tell they were, they may be on the spectrum. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly.
Yeah.
And they're just really excited about two characters possibly fighting. What would it happen? What do you think would happen if Wolverine? Yeah. And they're really, I mean, it's, and I just, I'll go with it. You know, I don't know what. Or if it's someone I don't know much about that guy. What do you think? And they'll get into it, and they get excited.
The problem is when you say I don't know too much about that, then they have, let me tell you. Then we'll circle back around. Once I tell you what the backdrop is of these two characters, then we'll circle back around and see about what you think about if they fought.
Yeah. And I did. There was was in there. He pinned me down for quite a while. Good kid, you know. But his mother came by later, and I said, no, not a problem. He's having a ball. He's there doing what he loves.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not what people make. I said, what would you rather do? You know, there's people in there. There's a lot of worse things you can be doing than going to a toy show and collecting and talking about toys.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of bad shit out there. I'd rather, you know.
Fuck yeah.
I'd rather be talking about, you know, how powerful Superman is or if he got in Wonder Woman's pants or not than out doing something else.
All right. So. That is the thing, too, about the three of us are very similar from that standpoint. We really sell the stuff that we like. Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong. You come across the right kind of deal, you're going to pick up some stuff. But it is hard when you have some things in your booth that you're actually not really in love with. And
I've picked up wrestling figures. Like, I've been going to we've stopped at a Target on our way to a show, and they literally are putting out wrestling figures, the new ones. I'm like, okay, well, I know that these are brand new today, this weekend, so these are going to go.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I won't pick. I mean, I just don't know anything about wrestling. I don't know anything much about Power Rangers, you know. So I just leave it.
Yeah.
And then I'm watching these guys just sell this stuff over, you know, hand over fist. I'm like, I could have had 4 of those.
Yeah.
This weekend, if I had known more.
Yeah.
But
there will come a day where the things we like probably won't sell very well anymore. And
I don't know if I'd want to do it. If I'm selling stuff just to sell it, that's not it.
Yeah. And the good thing about it is that's when you know. That's when you know it's time to get out. It's like, okay, nobody's buying Marvel. Now it's this, you know, now it's Gundam.
Whatever it is.
Or now it's all of a sudden now Dragon Ball Z makes a resurgence. Yeah. And, you know, you're just like, I don't know.
That's what people ask me all the time. I said, this is stuff I collect, so I know I like it.
Yeah.
And as I tell Nicole, I have great taste, so I know it's going to sell. I mean, really, you can go wrong. I collect Superman, for God's sakes, a Star Wars, and growing, you know, like that's not going to sell
no,
at a show.
It will always
be there.
I
mean, it's always going to sell. There's always going to be
there. Always going to be a new Superman movie.
There's not a show that I don't meet a dozen diehard Superman fans that want, you know, dozens, mildly. But you're always, just like you're running into Star Wars fans. It's the offshoot ones that you'll get, hey, you know, do you have Constantine? You don't, you know, when the show came, now he's kind of popular, but you've always got the standbys, Spider-Man, Superman.
So I want to get your take on this, Brian, because Kyle and I have talked about this before, but do you think...
Boxers.
Really? Boxers?
Yeah, I'm a boxer guy, yeah.
Oh, man.
Tidy whities. Gotta let the boys breathe.
I'm a boxer's brief guy.
Well, though, that's kind of what... I'm boxer brief. I'm sorry. Yeah, the regular boxers, they don't fit right.
No,
they
never...
They don't stretch.
I feel like they're weird.
The hole's never in the right spot.
Yeah,
you make
strange.
The wrong move, you're out.
Yeah.
You know, and that feels weird.
Yeah.
In a good way.
Do you think 15 to 20 years from now, Marvel...
That's going to put us at 70, by the way. 15 to 20 years is going to put us at 65, 70.
Marvel easily will have surpassed Star Wars?
Again with this?
Yeah, it's a question.
It's a podcast. Not what we do. If Star Wars keeps coming out with some
good stuff?
Yeah, good stuff.
What's the last good Star Wars you saw?
I haven't watched Andor yet. Heard it's awesome.
Ooh.
But I enjoy all the, you know, The Mandalorian, Obi-Wan. That was great. Yeah, you can pick apart anything. That's what drives me freaking nuts. We've been wanting Vader to fight Obi-Wan for freaking 40 years, and somebody's got to pick it apart. I thought it was great. You can always, but...
That show was fucking great.
I loved it. Yeah. Loved it.
And I could have done without little Leia, but I... Yeah, oh, whatever.
She's cute kid, but they want to tie something in there.
Yep.
And
I get that,
I'm
too.
And I'm okay with that, too. Yep. You know, but I enjoyed the newer stuff. But what I... And I've mentioned a few people, just reboot Star Wars. You've got a young cast. You got Andor in that. Go with... But what you could do, just... The original Star Wars.
It's going to happen.
It's going
to. It will happen someday.
If you had told me
it's
10 years ago,
it's 40 years.
I think if they're going to do it, they need to commit to it,
yes.
And they need to get Favreau and Filoni on board to do it.
Yeah.
Because they're killing everything on TV show. We just talked about this last weekend. If I don't see another Star Wars movie for the next 10 years, I'm okay with it because they're doing
the shows
it
are great
on
and
TV right
it's
now.
It's like you're getting a lot of background, you're getting depth.
Yeah.
And that's where I think reboot Star Wars, the first one, A New Hope.
Yeah.
Make it three freaking movies. You got enough background now. People want all this. You've got Rogue One leading. I think Rogue One's fine. You already got in it.
Yeah.
It's done.
Rogue
I mean,
One,
there's
yeah.
no characters that you got to worry about. I mean, the girl that played Leia, you can recast her as a younger Leia. You can keep that same story, but you can do a lot more background.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be one movie and done. Spread it out, maybe, you know, two movies, whatever. And and then, hey, do Shadows of the Empire to a certain point. Then Empire Strikes Back, Rey's movie, that and Rogue One. But you can just get more background. You can get more bounty hunters into
it. I'm definitely more open to that as a Star Wars diehard. I'm definitely more open to that.
Well, you're seeing how well they're doing it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But in the original Star Wars... I'll be honest, the first Star Wars, I couldn't stand Luke. I thought the acting was in.
He's a whiny bitch.
Yeah, well, Lucas isn't a good director. I'm sorry. I don't think he can direct an actor. Great story, great imagination, but you look at, you know, Empire and Jedi got a lot better, different directors. You know?
Yeah.
And then you go back to Phantom Menace and you got that same stoic.
Yeah.
He doesn't bring that out, you know, in people. Even Harrison Ford, I think, great actor. He had some corny lines in the original Star Wars. That's his directing. I think you can start over, get some good acting, and the way, you know, the special effects now are just freaking amazing. You can do all the shit you never did before.
Yeah.
You know, the
yeah,
first,
even when
the
you look
the
back
first
in the
one,
reboot,
you couldn't even have you couldn't even have Blue Squadron because the screen wouldn't shoot right this and that.
Yeah.
Now they introduce that. You just all the different ships, you know, now you've seen all the different troopers. They can really expand on it and take those movies. Make them bigger for another generation. It's been 40 years. We love the originals. They're fine, but you've got a young cast. You got coming.
Will fans accept it?
If it's done well,
I would think that would be that would have to be it. I think we're to a point now where they would. I mean, you're talking.
I'm
in that 1%. I mean, I put myself in that 1%,
yep.
And I'm not opposed to it.
So with that said, Brian, what did you think of Solo?
I thought it was an all right start.
Fun.
Yeah,
is the word I say.
It got bagged hard, and I don't think there was a reason for it. I think it warranted a sequel. I was hoping that the sequel would be him running into Boba Fett, and maybe that leads into the Boba Fett movie. And you know, there was an opportunity there where you know they had a history.
Yep.
Clearly, there was a history.
Yeah.
Always implied that they had a history. You know, even though he was the bounty hunter, and they could have ran into them.
Yep.
And like I said, then now he introduced Boba Fett in the movies, do some things. Now that runs into
a
bounty hunter movie.
I would not be surprised, based on what we've seen with Mando and Boba Fett, that we don't see an interaction between at least Luke, maybe, and Boba Fett.
In season three there.
Yeah, I mean...
It looks good.
The way they've rewritten Boba Fett and the way that they've already shown us that they can put original trilogy characters... in the show with Luke and Mando, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a passing, there's a team up, if you will.
Yeah.
There's something happens where Luke's at Boba Fett and kind of...
I don't think we're done with Luke.
No. Yeah. I don't think so either. And the way they're able to do the facial reconstruction stuff now,
they should have went and just cast
Here's the thing. To the reboot of Star Wars part, you could reboot Star Wars and have all the same actors.
Yeah. That's where I'm saying. You've set this.
You don't have to have different actors.
Yeah.
You just have to dump the money into the facial stuff.
Yeah.
And I mean, they've figured out a way.
Look at these deepfake videos people are doing in their basement.
And that's in their, awesome. They're figuring out a way to get 92-year-old James Earl Jones' voice to sound like it did in 1977.
Oh, he just sold his rights
pretty
to it.
Soon.
So they got it the rest of the way. No.
Pretty soon, they're not going. They're just going to be able to make his voice. And, you know, you're not going to have to have, like right now, Mark Hamill comes back, and he's 68-year-old Mark Hamill doing lines for the 28-year-old Luke. Well, eventually you can't do that. You're not going to be able to call 85-year-old Harrison Ford to do Han Solo because it's going to sound like 84-year-old doing Han Solo. Yeah. So you're going to have to figure out a way to do it, and it's not going to take him long.
No.
Well, so you could reboot Star Wars.
No, he sold the rights to his voice for Vader.
Yeah. But he's 92. It's not like he's going
to
be.
So they had that. Well, Bruce Willis just sold his likeness to create movies. He was the first to do it. About 2 months ago, sold the rights that they have. They can put his face and make Bruce Willis movies.
Wow.
Yeah, he was the first to do it. And so now you're going to see that. You know, why wouldn't Mark Hamill? I always said years ago, it's like, I hope they have James Earl Jones reading every possible version so he got his voice making that, you know.
Yeah, and you can put it together and make it happen.
Yeah, and what they have now, I mean, because you can't have without his voice. Even if someone's faking it, you can kind of tell.
Well, I'll tell you what, there are some voice actors out there that were smart enough to start saying, okay, I have a bass voice. Yeah. I have a vibrato. James Earl Jones is 70 at this time, 20 years ago. You know, maybe I need to
perfect this a little bit.
They've got a couple guys that are doing Peter Cullen's Optimus Prime voice.
Yeah.
And they are damn close. Yeah. I mean, damn close.
Right.
To the point where you could probably go, okay, there's not going to be much transition
there. There was a comedian that long ago I heard doing it, and he sounded good.
Wow. Yeah. And it's like, okay,
because that is that's
just have him voice. On speed dial, you know, when Peter Cullen and Frank Welker can't do it anymore at all.
I don't know if I just don't have a weird because like you know watching Clone Wars.
Oh, sorry.
And porn too, obviously. But obviously, I know some of the actors, of course, did the voiceover for that stuff. Like the Emperor, I'm sure he did it. He probably did. Did he do the voice for?
I'm not sure he did. There,
There
might well. The,
they just sound
the Order
like
66,
sound like
so the Order 66 scene in Bad Batch,
yep.
I believe was Ian McDermott.
Okay,
because they just have him come in and redo that
thing.
I don't think they just brought the. They might have just brought the voiceover from Revenge of the Sith.
I thought I read there was two different voices on that.
But for the most part, all of those voices are
different people.
Different people,
and I'll tell you, never bothered me once.
Yeah. But the thing about it with Clone Wars and Bad Batch and Rebels and all that. Is because there's enough difference in the difference between a live actor and the CGI actor that the voice that
you're looking at that more. You don't tie it in.
You don't quite match it up to the actual guy who does Obi-Wan, Ewan McGregor, and
you're not looking at that.
Because you're not looking at that. Yeah, there's enough of a difference there. I'm sure if you put them in the same room and had them talk the same line, people are going to go, oh, they don't sound anything alike.
Yeah.
But because there's enough differentiation between a CGI Obi-Wan and a live-action Obi-Wan, that it's hard
once
to...
Once you hear it, your brain accepts it.
Unless
it's
right. Now, if tomorrow they got the guy who does the voice for Anakin in Clone Wars to, you know, be Anakin on live TV, I don't know if it would work.
Yeah. Right.
Because, so... That's different as opposed to, you know, an actor just getting older and...
Right.
Chilly, are you? Oh, sorry.
And Nicole's sitting in this room with her winter Parker. Jacket on.
I mean, it's cold in here. I'm wearing long shirt and long pants.
You guys remember what it was like to be skinny? Yeah. You remember?
No.
It's what you get for being skinny.
Yeah.
Cold.
Yeah. See, we adapted.
Yeah. It's called grow some insulation.
Grow some insulation.
I got a fun one for you, Kyle. You have to cast the Bad Batch, and we're going to say the six main characters. The six main characters, it has to be the My Wife is Going to Kill Me podcast crew.
Oh!
Plus, Kyle and Brian.
Okay.
Brian, have you watched Bad Batch?
Sad to say no.
Okay. You are going to
I am
love
behind
it.
On all
You will love it.
I've thought of
oh,
doing
man,
what
this
you
is
did.
Tough.
Throw it on my thing works, and get on the treadmill and just,
it,
you know.
It definitely works.
Because I want to start.
Well, one of them's Omega the Chick, so that's going to be.
I am kind of effeminate.
Not you. No. It'd probably be Steve just to piss him off.
I love it.
Why do I got to be the girl?
I'll think about that here while we're.
Okay, yeah. You think about that. I'll hit Brian with a next little question for him. So, Brian, obviously, this podcast, we're kind of in bed with the Four Horsemen. And you talked about DC Classics already, a line that, you know, you were a huge fan of. You have never made the jump into Mythic Legions.
I have not.
How come?
Probably because I'm in so much other shit. But I missed the
boat. Like, I don't need to add.
Every time I went to get it, they were already gone. You know, I kind of looked at them. I've pointed a few out to you that I want, and yeah, they've become $100 figures loose in that. And quite possibly once I cool down on other stuff, I'm going to start plucking them in there and getting them. Because I didn't see, the Red Demon chick with the wings. I don't even know the name of it. I don't think I saw it.
Yeah, I think she's
that was one of my favorites. Yep. And yeah, there's a few. I couldn't even tell you the damn names. But
oh,
yeah, I'm going to.
Shit, I can't tell you the names.
I'm going to start getting.
They're 200 figures deep now.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, no, they're. Are they that many? Jesus.
It's pretty damn close. No. It might not be 200.
Well, just looking at your shelf, I'm like, man, I missed out on quite a few. I'm going to, you know, not to sell or anything, but, you know, yep. I just got to start plucking
are
some that I
swords,
like.
Swords and sorcery, is that your
oh,
thing?
Oh, I grew up on, yeah, with Conan. Going to the flea market, buying the Conan magazine, mm-hmm. you know, seeing the naked women. Oh, yeah. I used to redraw them as tattoos in high school. You know, I used to draw them and you'd lick your arm and stick them on there. Oh, yeah, buddy's got caught, you know, because I'd redraw the naked women and then they'd have the tattoos. And I used to redraw those. And I have stuff from when I was in fifth and sixth grade that I drew on big boards. I still have, you know, I could copy anything I see, you know, type thing.
Ryan, exactly why you fit in with us. You are a fucking pervert.
Yeah.
Exactly why you fit in.
Just because I was 10 years old, getting excited, drawing some boobies, you know.
I'll be honest, Savage Conan, that was a little bit of it for me, too. It was definitely...
Our flea market had a guy that sold comic books, and he'd sell to us.
Yeah.
And go
he did give
time.
A fuck how old you wanted your money.
It was 82, 83, because I remember the week before Return of the Jedi came out, I bought the paperback. I still have that one.
Mm-hmm.
And my aunt told me, don't read it. You're going to spoil the movie. And I couldn't. On the way home, I'm reading it. Oh, my God, Darth Vader dies. But it didn't have Yoda died. So that was a shock when I saw the movie. But I was like, oh, Vader dies. You know. So I knew everything was going on. And the next week, I was first in line, got in the paper. Still have that paper laminated. Oh, yeah. Skip school. But, yeah, that was a lot. And I still have a lot of those Conans. I put them away and gave them to my brother because he'll never do nothing with them. But
did you get any of the recent Marvel run Conan stuff?
I did not.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Jason Aaron's the guy that wrote it. He's one of my favorite writers. He wrote some great shit.
I've been picking up a lot of Red Sonja covers and stuff. But I told you, I'm just not reading shit anymore.
Yeah, it's hard.
But I've been grabbing a lot of covers, and they've had Red Sonja and a ton of artists that I liked, so I started picking those up again. But as far as the Conan, I haven't grabbed.
When you say you're not reading, what are you doing? Are you watching TikToks? What are you doing?
He works for a living, Trav. Something.
Yeah,
you,
I work too much, and I don't even.
He works probably, too much.
Yeah, my
has a lady friend.
You know, yeah, a lot of nice weekends with Nicole.
Yeah, I was gonna say, weren't you?
I collect toys,
I comic books, I work. There's not much else I do.
Yeah, when I get home sitting from in the work, room. I'm going through, trying to bag comic books, get those put away. But I start collecting diecast again, so I've been getting a lot of that. Going
diecast cars.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Trucks and
Mustangs. Well, you're a truck guy.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they finally do my old trucks that I like, you know.
Are you getting, like, Matchbox and Hot Wheels, or are you buying, like, the boxed?
I buy them all, whatever I like.
My brother's into the boxed, the Matchboxers.
Okay, hold on. I want to do this real quick here. Star Wars toys, you're buying.
Yeah.
Vintage, modern.
Yep.
Marvel,
you're
buying. Yep. DC, you're buying.
Yep.
Statues.
Yep.
You are a huge statue vendor at these shows.
I haven't been buying a whole lot anymore, but, I mean... 5 years ago, I had hundreds and hundreds, and I'm getting down there. But I still have a lot of nice statues.
Which is a pricey thing to collect and sell, for sure.
Yeah.
Sideshow
stuff.
You just said cars, your Hot Wheels, blah, blah, blah.
And he's got sports stuff, too.
Are you a sports guy, too? You're buying, like...
I don't buy it so much anymore. I still have a ton of it that I started selling.
Okay.
And, you know,
but there's nothing really now There's not
a whole lot. I don't know. Yeah. Well, the old McFarlane.
They just started with the starting lineup again.
Okay. Yeah. But are you going to do that?
No.
Yeah. Are you still watching sports like you used to?
I catch football.
Okay.
You know, and some baseball. But, gotcha. Not a basketball. I'm not the starting lineup right now is all the basketball. I'm not a basketball fan. I'm great. I support the Pistons and that, but it's just not my sport. So,
comics.
Yeah. Real trucks. I have quite a few old trucks.
How many?
She hasn't said a word the entire time she's been sitting down here, and she just giggled.
I probably have close to 20 trucks. So.
What the fuck? So, yeah. Did you say 20 trucks? Yeah, Jesus, what are they paying engineers now?
Yeah. 20 trucks. Some are complete, some are not. Doesn't matter.
Do or do not run. Understandably, yeah. You still collected them.
Trucks.
Yep.
Are they in a lawn growing grass around them?
Fuck.
A couple. Yeah, okay. Goddamn, but I got to get the barn put up.
Goddamn.
So I can get them all.
What else?
What else?
Jeez. That's probably. He collects. I can't think of anything else that I would collect.
So you're in on eight things.
Well, not just. I mean, offshoots of fantasy figures. I still get those. Obviously, like the Red Sonyas, the Vampires, the Hell.
The D&D stuff. Yeah. Did you get any of the D&D stuff?
No. I do have to. I saw his Conan. I've been wanting to go back and get some of the Conan stuff.
Well, Trav's got a bucket full of them.
I'll
give you a deal, buddy.
All right. Yeah. I was like, man, I got to get, because I remember seeing those in the theater as a kid. You know, those were great films. You know.
I got to get them too, but I'm going to wait for
everything was.
I'm going to wait for Trapped at this point. Just be putting them on a table and get rid of them.
Yeah, that'll do it.
I might have went a little too deep on it. Now Red Sonja is probably would have sold great.
Yeah,
but some of the stuff I went in.
Brigitte Nielsen played her back. Brigitte. In the day. I still remember seeing that in the old theater. Yeah.
Which I loved her, but she still didn't. She didn't capture the
no
that
no.
That's a
they're redoing
beautiful
Red Sonja is coming out.
I know, but dude, you know that's going to be.
Nah, it might be better.
It will be better. But I think it will not be sexualized.
Oh, well, yeah. If it's got a, you can't do that. Cut it.
Well, I mean, even if they don't have anything sexualized in the plot or in the storyline, like, she's going to be walking around wearing.
I bet she isn't.
Really? She's going to be fully.
Maybe Midriff will be open. But what movie is it? Hercules, which I actually liked with The Rock.
I never saw the one chick
where she was. It was different take on it. I liked it, you know. I'm not looking for an Oscar worthy movie.
All right,
but he looked pretty good, and they kind of delved into the how he got the, you know, obviously.
Yep.
Explained how he came to do all these great feats, or they appeared to be great feats. Yeah. But the chick in that, I mean, she actually looked more, you know, she had like pants on and she was covered up, but you know, he could still tell she was a little hot. But
yeah,
and they might go that way. And as long as it's a good. Good film. That's cool with that.
Yeah, as long as it's well run, I could care less.
Yeah,
I just do
go around slaying people in a thong. I mean,
doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's not really going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's not.
They didn't even shave back then, did they? I mean, we wouldn't be looking all that good.
Probably not.
Yeah,
probably not. Kyle, you ready with your list?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
He was thinking about it.
So,
Brian, this will be great for you since you haven't watched it yet.
Yeah,
it's
going to
be very entertaining for me.
Jeremy as Tech, the glasses.
Yep.
And he's got all the gadget stuff.
Because he's a nerd.
Because he's a nerd.
But Jeremy, I see Tech with the glasses, and then of course he's the musician. He can pick up any musical instrument and start playing it, writes his own songs and stuff.
He's a nerd.
Brian's Wrecker.
I like that.
The big
wrecked him. Damn near killed him.
The big guy they put in front of all the bullets. Yeah. Kind of the
He's definitely Wrecker.
Yeah. You're Hunter, cuz everybody kind of we all kind of circle around Trav as our toy leader.
I'll take that for sure.
I'm Crosshair, the old crotchety.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. And by the way, when I play Modern Warfare, that's my go-to as a sniper. I will sit. I just pick dudes off.
Yeah.
It's too ornery just to go down there and kill him. I'll shoot him from back here.
Yeah, Steve is Omega because he's also the Alpha. So he's also the Omega.
I love it.
So
sure, I'm sure he'll appreciate that.
Well, it's going to turn out that she is the... The clone that everything starts from.
Hinges from her. Yeah.
So he's got to be the Alpha. He's all going to be the Omega. And Pete ends up being Echo just because he's the last one.
He's just the last one.
He's just the one I couldn't. Yeah. Pete was either going to be Wrecker or whatever ended up last, but I gave Wrecker to Brian.
Yeah. Brian definitely should be Wrecker for sure.
Appreciate that.
Yep. And who don't love Wrecker?
Everybody loves Wrecker.
Oh, everybody loves
Wrecker.
Yeah. I like him already.
Yep. Oh, you're going to love Bad Batch.
Yeah, I know. Because you've talked about it a few times. I got to go back and look at what the order to watch everything in and just kind of sit down and do it. I've told her a few times. She's not going to watch a cartoon with me. And I wouldn't put her through that. But although she sat through a couple of the Star Wars she didn't like a whole lot. But, you know. Why are these things always in the desert?
You know, like, Kathy's the same way.
There's all these planets, but they always end up back on this fucking planet.
And I said, you know, I know this, like, the first Obi-Wan was kind of boring. It was setting it up. I said, they're setting it up, but I said, there's a lot of people. We want to see this stuff.
Yeah.
It seems mundane or just pointless, but we want to see Obi-Wan interacting and, or, you know, doing that stuff that we didn't get to see in the first ones because they just touched on a little bit. But, yes, you need to get off the goddamn planet. Go someplace else.
I've told this story before. Kathy and I will sit and watch a movie on a Sunday afternoon, like if something's on, and she'll go, have I seen this one yet? I'm like, babe, we saw this in the theater. Three times! I watch it every time it comes on TV. I own the Blu-ray, and every time it's on TV, we watch it. And every single time she says, have I seen this one? Get out of the room. Go.
Oh, you know what makes me want? I just found it the other day. I supposedly have an 8mm reel from the original Star Wars that has all the uncut scenes on it. And I got it from a collector 30 years ago, and I've never put that up. I got to find someone with 8mm. I just crossed my mind because it's supposed to have the original Jabba, and I've never checked it out. And I just the other day, I'm like, oh, there it is. You know, I had it sitting in some boxes because I've had it for, well, 25 years I've had it. And so it was supposed to be, and a friend of mine, he worked in a comic shop for like 30 years, so he had all kinds of crazy shit. And I ended up getting that on a trade, and I got to try that out sometime, see what that's got. Man. It's supposed to be one of the original, like an original reel of the original cut.
Yeah.
You know, so thinking of that, might have to check that out sometime or find somebody with 8mm.
Hope you find it because 8mm's got live celluloid. So hopefully it hasn't broken down.
Yeah, probably.
Life cultures on it.
Yeah, and I could be saying it's small and it's a real.
Yeah.
Like I said, I've had it.
Some since, fungus.
I've had it since the mid-90s.
Yeah. So. That's super cool.
That just popped in my head when he said saw that in the theater and that. But
what's your favorite thing in your collection?
Probably my Superpower Superman and Bizarro DC Classics.
Nice.
The super that were in the discontinued two-pack.
If that's your number one, can I have Nicole then?
I didn't know I collected her. But, well, he said it.
And, yeah.
I got that from C2E2.
Really?
A good friend when I went in 08 or 09. I know Thor was out because Thor they were touting Thor, the first one. And my friend Jason Wagner, actually I still remember his name. He's from Texas, and he had a lot of cool shit. He'd come up, he'd come do that, and he'd do Novi. But unfortunately, they started doing the Texas show the same weekend as. But he would drive all the way. That's how good he did. And he would get five or six booths, and it'd be all loose figures, just buckets. He'd buy collections and sell loose figures. That's all he did, and he killed it. But I went there, and he had prototypes of the Superman, Bizarro, Superpowers, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, all colored from a friend in the UK or something like that. Now they ended up coming up with the Wonder Woman came in the Superpowers from Maddie Collector when they did the Calibac. But the Superman, they did it, not even the same color. This, because I got this from the two-pack. It's got the bright blue, and there was a picture of it on one of the other two-packs that it was supposed to come out. I'm like, but it hadn't come out. And he says, you know, prototypes, I'll buy them. I paid like five or six of them. I paid like $300 for them. Well, that Superman goes for five or six now, and the Bizarro, no one's even sold one. And most people, they see about two or three Supermans come up for sale each year, but not Bizarros. And it just looks cool with the Superpowers color. Completely different. Makes the figure look awesome.
I didn't even know they had one.
Yeah. Well, they did the Superpower. I almost sold it. I put it out at a show because they were coming out with the Superpowers on the cards with the Calibac. So I said, well, I might as well sell this. They're going to put the damn thing out. It's going to be worthless. So I put it out, and I had 200 on it. I just said, 200 is prototype. Didn't sell it. And then they come out with those, and the color looked like shit. So I was like, I'm so glad I didn't sell that thing.
Yeah.
Because it just, I was like, how do you guys, you know what the Superpowers color is. It just totally makes a figure. They could do that of every Superman figure, and they'd sell the shit out of them.
Yeah.
And so I still have those. And the Wonder Woman they ended up doing, it ended up being just like that one. I mean, this is years later, probably 5, 6, 7 years later.
Yeah.
They came out with the Wonder Woman. The Aquaman had the colors. There wasn't a whole lot of detail to him. He was just, but that Superman, that Bizarro, just looked awesome in the Superpowers colors.
Yeah.
And I'd say that's probably, you know, worth the most that I have, because I don't think I might be missing something else, but I'm pretty sure that, you know, of course, I got my Jenna Jameson figures, which I won't part with.
That would have been good to have last night.
What I got to do, I got the two Christmas ones. I got the holiday. Jesus. Those are the ones I kept hers. I only had like 50 of them.
Is Jenna still alive?
You know what? I think I saw a picture not too long ago. She's alive, but she's got another divorce or something. She was a smart woman. She made a lot. She was like the first one to market herself. She had the rights to do her own thing.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, as a woman,
so she did very well for herself.
She did very well for herself. Yeah. Yeah, she started her own companies and stuff, so she was very smart.
I'm trying to think from that era who my favorite. Man, I really love Tara.
Patrick.
Tara Patrick.
Yes, I was going to say she was a big one.
Oh, man, I loved her.
Yep. They actually have a figure of her. Yeah, I did finally get that. Yeah. I got that one about 3 years. I was like, I couldn't pass it up.
I was definitely a fan.
Yeah, Tara Patrick.
Kyle, who's yours?
I have no idea.
Who's your go-to porn actress?
I don't know. I have no idea.
He's too busy thinking really about Star Wars.
I mean, I know who she is. Jenna Jameson is. I don't know who this other person.
No.
Nope.
Yeah, she was.
I'll send you some videos.
Oh, great. Great.
I used to be better with them, but as I got older, I've kind of lost contact with all.
Oh yeah, of course. You know. Yeah. Yep.
Not that I still don't. You know, wandering it too once in a while.
Every once in a while. I mean, come on. You just got to kind of figure out what's going on.
What's going on with these kids' days?
Yeah. You need to see if you got to learn new tricks.
Yep.
I mean, I have no problem admitting I didn't watch a lot of porn. I don't. The last porn I didn't even watch. Kathy and I were on a date. We come back to my house, and my brother
Wait,
and his...
Wait, motherfucker.
Hold on.
You've been married for how long?
I know.
How long have you been married?
We've been married for 28.
And you have not watched.
We've been together since 91. We've been together since 91. So, yeah, 30 plus years. Now, so, no.
32 years?
Yeah. So, we're on a date and we come into my house. And my brother and his best friend is watching Edward Penis Hands. Well, all they did was take Coke bottles, 2-liter Coke bottles, and put them on this guy's arm and put it in the shape of a penis. And it was so good that I fell asleep on the floor.
Wow, they're not going further.
Yeah.
While your girlfriend and your brother watched that porn together.
And his best friend.
Oh.
Yeah. So she wakes me up and says, it's time to go home. I'm like, okay. And that was it. That was the last time I even flinched.
Was your first porn you saw? I still remember the first one I saw. Flesh Gordon.
It might have been Flesh Gordon, and I really wouldn't even call that porn.
And I didn't realize till not recently that was actually is kind of a cult classic.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Just remember going to the neighbor's babysitter, and we go over there, and all the older girls were watching that, and they're like,
"Yeah, I think that I would have to say that's the first one too." Yeah.
Still sticks with me.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
It's a classic.
I cannot remember my first one because I was so young that I can't remember long ago, probably.
I had to be around 10, somewhere in there.
It explains a lot of things, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, well, I'm sitting there, and here's all these girls 4 years old. Well, no, they were, because they were babysitting the neighbor child that was in bed. So the girls were like 16, and they were like 5. Yeah, so I was probably 11, and they were like 16, so I couldn't get up. I was walking the floor. Didn't know what to do, you know.
Nicole is currently Googling Flesh Gordon.
The poster is awesome.
It's just set up like the old sci-fi movies where the stars were hanging by strings.
Yeah, yeah.
So you see this penis ship just jumping around, fake stars, and they're in there, and it's a sex ray, and it's something. They turn it on, everybody starts having sex. That's all I really remember about it. Were talking a while ago about the poster. It was pretty awesome.
The poster was great.
God, it was hilarious. I couldn't tell you who was in it.
No, yeah. Yeah.
You know, back then, Ron Jeremy, I don't know.
I couldn't tell you. Right.
He's the only one, Holmes, Johnny Holmes?
John Holmes, that name I know.
Yeah, he was the big in the 70s.
And I'm not surprised you know all the guys' names, Kyle.
Yeah.
13 inches, yeah, anybody remember that?
I remember that seeing that, I'm like, that's fake, there's no way that's real.
But it ain't 18, like.
Yeah.
Last night.
As we wind this down, we're about an hour and a half in. Last night was you guys' first time coming over for the Christmas party. What were did you have any
fears coming over last night, Brian?
Nah, I've met most of you guys. I didn't want to bring a bad gift. I guess I wasn't sure about how. I've never done one of the white elephants.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of, you know, did the old liquor, a little bit of party favors, but wasn't sure, you know.
Yep.
I know the group and I know what we get, but obviously there's wives and stuff, so, you know, don't know how that goes. But now, after going to one, oh, there's going to be some shit coming out.
Smart. Good play.
I already have an idea for old Kong that she won. You know, well, you know.
I hate to say it, but calling it a white elephant, I know that automatically, because white elephant is a negative kind of tone, really, usually. It's something you didn't want, right? So you're regifting
it. Good point. But that's, here, everybody, the point is to get something that everybody wants so they trade and screw somebody over.
Yeah, it's more the fun aspect.
And you saw
of
Ben
it.
Lose his Krampus. He about cried. And
yeah.
Joe got hosed twice.
Yeah.
That's usually me. Usually, I'm the one who usually gets multiple Mythic Legions
something
in my
hands.
Tells
me you wouldn't have been as quiet as Joe was.
Joe, oh,
just,
no,
Joe
I'm,
just had that look of
oh, Pete. No, I'm very vocal.
Yeah.
And Pete is the one who's usually gotten it from me.
Yeah.
I'm very vocal.
Pete's usually the
And he's
got to
let you know he
yeah.
got it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Motu Joe said, like, he said last night, he goes, every party like this, he's gotten screwed. he's got, and usually it is, you know, if there's one or two really desirable things, a lot of people are going to get screwed.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
obviously, but.
To me, I like you said, I wasn't in it. Anything more the experience.
Yeah, just for the fun of hanging out. And, yeah.
And to make sure she went home with the, you know, Kong. But
wishes do come true.
Yeah. I was like, that is going home. Yeah.
Wishes do come true.
Ask for it ahead of time. I kind of feel like, you know, when you go home with that, it's kind of.
The king.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's quite the prize.
Go home and get beat about the ass, face, and neck with it, but whatever, you know.
All at once.
Yeah. I don't know where it's coming from.
Yeah.
Well, I got to say I am super thankful that you guys stuck around for this, and I am sure our listeners, because if we hadn't recorded this, there would have been nothing for them this week because of the situations that are going on with the other guys. So thanks for joining me, boys.
Yep.
Hopefully we get to do it again sometime soon. And that's going to wrap up to whatever it was, 75, I think. Thanks, everybody, for coming and hanging out.
Is that another box? It's either me or the toys. Or the toys.
Welcome to the My Wife is Going to Kill Me podcast.
The podcast where me and my friends talk about the number one thing that makes our wives want to kill us.
Toy collecting!
Transform.
Mother, hush, bucket,
roll out.
Transform.
I'm Batman.
And roll out. Transform.
That's America's ass.
And roll out. Transform.
MWIGTKM, my wife,
is going to kill.
Obi-Blan Kenobi.
Oh, wow, you are dumb.
All right, man's man, we'll see you on the flip-flop.
I tend to lash out to protect my loved ones.
Travis.
At least he's just giving it the old whoppity-dop-dop.
It just keeps growing.
Man, it's good stuff.
Oh, shoot.
Jeremy.
Don't encourage him. I hope the cat pisses on you.
You're reading again, aren't you?